Today's March 19th, 2025. Current Bitcoin price is $86,270.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Oh man, what's going on, Rick?
Oh, not much.
Not
just
much.
Hanging out.
Chilling.
Chilling. Waiting for the world to end.
Waiting for the world to end. I think you've got a little while longer. I think so. Maybe.
I hope so.
What happened? Putin immediately went back against his word on whatever, like, ceasefire that. It wasn't a complete ceasefire, right?
I was going to say, I don't think they had a finalized ceasefire deal, so.
He was just, like, supposed to stop attacking energy and infrastructure and immediately turned his back on that right away. So, yeah. Good times. Good times.
Hey, he's just acting like Trump with the tariffs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. I mean, he's saying one thing, he's going to do something else, and. Yeah, markets are still, I mean, I guess we got a little bit of a rebound in markets today. What are we looking at with our theoretical purchases?
Okay, today the price is at $86,270. So if you would have bought in October 2023, $3,000 worth of Bitcoin, which at the time it was nearing $30,000. And I just said, if you put $3,000 in Bitcoin, you're going to be sitting pretty in not too distant future. And if you would have done that at that time, you would have turned that $3,000 into $7,635. So, I mean, it's done better. I mean, especially when it's above $100,000, but it's still, I mean, you're still sitting pretty good.
Yeah.
Second theoretical that was at the halving on 11 months ago on April 19th. And it was basically $64,000. And we said, just put $1,000 down right at the halving. And by the end of the cycle, you're going to be doing all right. And hopefully we're not at the end of the cycle, because that $1,000 is now worth $1,349, or we basically gained $350 on that investment. So it's not terrible, but it's not what we had hoped.
Yeah. Well, and it's been kind of, it's that one has been a roller coaster and a half. Like, obviously the one that we did back in 23, that one's done really well, no matter what. Like, we go back quite a few episodes, it still looks pretty good. That one, I remember even times that it was below the $1,000.
Yeah, no, there was many a times when it was below $1,000. So you were eating it. So really, it's a game of timing. And October 23, I think what the rumors about the BlackRock ETFs were getting really strong, and Bitcoin was starting to gain some momentum, and it's never been anywhere near that price anymore. So.
No.
Yeah, that was the time to get it, really.
I really don't know if we'll ever see $30,000 Bitcoin again. I mean, I'll never say never, but that would be awesome if we did. I definitely don't think we'll ever see $15,000 Bitcoin again.
No.
But, and I think it's just too many major players in the market right now. Next thing that we're going to look at here is going to be our ETF flows, or I guess not ours, but what's going on with the ETFs. And it looks like we're starting to see a few black days starting to come in.
Yeah. I mean, two black days in a row. I mean, you'll take your wins where you can get them.
Yeah. Looks like we had on the 17th, we had 274.6 million of inflows come in. Looks like the 18th was 209 million. So far for today, we still don't have BlackRock's reportings, but it was 11.8 million. So, I mean, it's good. It still doesn't make up all the red that we had prior to that. Because now, really, we only had the 12th that was a positive day and the 5th that was a positive day. And then when you look at the other outflows during that time, it was pretty substantial. And I think you were kind of saying it too. Like, considering all the turmoil that's going on, like, Bitcoin is still doing pretty good holding its own price-wise.
Yeah. I mean, you just go back a few months and you said, hey, Bitcoin's going to be at 80. You'd be like, 86. You'd be going, yes. But after, you know, some of the exuberance we saw at the beginning of the year, you're just like, meh, 86.
Yeah, 86.
No big deal.
No, but I wanted it at 86. And then we might as well bring it up because we were kind of talking about it last time. Gold is actually above 3,000 again.
Yep. New all-time high, right?
New all-time high. Looks like the actual high was 3,056. So it's performing really well. Silver's doing really good. Not quite a, I don't know if it's actually a new all-time high for silver, but silver is in the $30 range. So that's not too shabby.
I don't remember ever getting to the $30 range. So
yeah, it's at $33, almost $34 right now.
Yeah.
So I think that
when I was younger, I bought it at like 15 or something like that.
Yeah. And it seems like it was like $20 an ounce for like the longest time, right in that range. So it's done pretty well as well. So, you know, Peter Schiff is a happy man right now.
Oh, for sure. But you know what, in defense of, I wouldn't say Peter Schiff, but gold and silver. I mean, we're a Bitcoin podcast, but we're not anti-gold and silver. We've actually said that that's not a bad investment either.
Yeah. So. No. And I think, yeah, we've talked about that on several occasions that, you know, you want your hard assets. Bitcoin is a hard asset, but you also want that gold and silver. Silver, I like buying silver, especially physical silver, because it's not too hard to carry. I mean, and it's not, you don't have to break the bank to get it.
Yep. You don't have to, you know, sell a kidney to get 1 ounce of it versus gold is getting about that close, or I don't know what a kidney goes for in the black market.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Or not enough.
We'll have to look that up sometime. Hopefully it's more than $3,000. Maybe not.
One would hope.
So there was a lot of pressure kind of going into the Fed during this week. I think Arthur Hayes was talking about how, and I read an article on Forbes right before we kind of got going. Arthur Hayes was talking about how, oh, well, there's going to be a $9 billion release of capital into the market and it's going to go flow into Bitcoin. Because, you know, the Fed's going to step in and try and stabilize markets, right?
Right.
And we talked about that last episode, and I think you even said, no, they're not going to do anything.
No. No, they're going to, they've been kind of on the quantitative tightening track for a couple of years, and I don't see them getting off that train that quick.
Yeah, I don't see that. And I don't see them changing to, they're not going to cave to the political pressure caused by Trump.
No.
I really do like I think we kind of talked about that last time about I think in some ways Trump wants to see that interest rate get cut because when we go to refi the debt, like he would like to see it lower. But right now, like the big talking points that were taken away from the FOMC meeting, which took place between basically Tuesday and today, the Federal Reserve has kept the key interest rate unchanged, which we kind of expected that. And they're expecting a half percentage point rate cut later in the year. That's all they were able to say.
a whole half percent.
A whole half a percent. Jerome Powell did describe the inflation caused by tariffs as being transitory. Like that hasn't bit him in the butt before.
Well, was he the one that said it was transitory? I thought it was Janet Yellen.
I think it was him that first keyed it off.
Was it him who started it and she copied him?
Yeah, I think if you go back to our older episodes, I think we talked about it at the time too. Because I think he even went back and was like, well, I guess it wasn't transitory. Like they started to kind of pat themselves on the back when it started to kind of come back down. And I think that he kind of brought it back up as kind of a joke thing. I mean, to me, it was one of those things where it was kind of like just in bad taste. Like, yeah, you guys may think that's kind of funny, but like people were really getting hurt by the inflation number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. They probably don't think it's funny that Trump got elected, but that was probably a huge impact in that happening.
Yeah.
One of them.
Economic growth projections were reduced to 1.7% for the year, down from the previous forecast of 2.1. And unemployment is expected to rise 4.4%. It looks like they're anticipating two rate cuts in 2025 with key interest rate ending the year at 3.9%. And inflation forecast for 2025 were adjusted slightly upward to 2.8%, but predictions for 2026 and 2027 remain stable. So that's kind of the big takeaways. Well, it's kind of funny too, because I remember back when the COVID thing was happening, and I know we talked about it on the podcast. They had said at the time that they did not see, they had no plans to increase the interest rate at the time. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I kind of do. I know COVID was so crazy that my memory just feels off after that time.
Mine does too. Mine does too, sir. So yeah, it's, I don't know. I can't believe he used transitory again. I don't know if that's going to bode well for him or not. I mean, obviously Trump can turn this on a dime and the markets would probably recover pretty substantially, but I just don't, he's not going to do that for a while.
Yeah.
What is, so well, go ahead.
I was going to say just one thing. I mean, if he all of a sudden is jumping in and saying, oh, we got to cut rates now, I think that would spook the markets more than anything. It's like, oh, you know what? We're in a big recession right now. So, I mean, that's his whole role is to play it cool and take, if there is action needed to be taken, he's going to take too long to do it, because doing it too fast can spook the markets just as bad as moving too slow.
It's like a baby deer.
Exactly.
Baby deer. You got to be careful with the baby deer. Can't make sudden motions.
That's right.
It's like an autistic, junky baby deer. That's the U.S. economy. And then you were kind of talking about this, and I just saw it right before we kind of got going, but Loomis was being interviewed by Anthony Pompliano with her plans for the digital asset committee that she's on or that she's heading. And, you know, it was kind of a sobering response to hear. And I think as much as, and this is probably for me personally too, I get stuck in my echo chamber of, like, you know, Bitcoin's the greatest thing. And I see it all the time. Like, Bitcoin is doing amazing things. Bitcoin is this, Bitcoin is that. But she's like, realistically, a lot of the other senators are not there yet. They don't understand the value of Bitcoin still. There's still a lot of education that needs to get done. So she said, basically, what they're going to be looking at is stablecoins is going to be the first thing that they attempt to tackle. And then they're going to start to look at market structure. And then finally, they'll probably start to look at Bitcoin. So, I mean, that's going to be a while.
Yep, I agree. I mean, that doesn't just go for senators. That's the general public. I mean, yeah. And there's a lot of baby boomers that are still in the Senate. So I wouldn't expect them to be hip on the latest technology, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's, you know, as much as I wish, like, the Strategic Reserve, like, there was something more and more that was happening all the time. It's going to be a while. Like, and I don't know, as good as it is that the United States government is starting to embrace crypto. And I guess SEC released all their lawsuits against XRP that they're working on. So, like, there was a big rebound within XRP for that. That was kind of taking place today. And obviously Bitcoin kind of rebounded a little bit today. So markets are up a little bit, but I mean, there was a lot that got washed out, and I still don't know how solid the ground is that we're on.
I agree. I think we're going to know a month from now. We're going to pick a direction, and we're going to be sledding down that hill or riding that rocket. I don't know which.
So you're thinking what, mid-April?
Well, it might even be early. I mean, isn't that when some of the tariffs are really going to go into effect? Is early April.
Yeah, April 2nd, I think, was the last date that I heard. But at the same time, like, he had said that he had pushed off some of them, and then he enacted those other ones right away, even though I thought they were pushed away. So April 2nd currently is the date. And I think those are the ones that are going to go against, is that Europe and China?
I believe so.
So we'll see what happens there. I mean, I get it. We need to bring, you know, industry back to the States, but we'll have to, it's going to be a bumpy ride, I think.
I do. I agree. And we'll go through that bumpy ride, whether or not we get manufacturing back in America, that remains to be seen.
And then just kind of one thing that I wanted to touch on is it looks like we talked a while back, and I still believe that the states will get their Bitcoin reserve in place before the federal government does. And it looks like, I mean, there were still kind of a handful of states that were still looking. Many of the states made the proposals. Texas leads currently with 7 active bills in various legislative stages. We had heard that one kind of had passed, but it still had to go back to another committee, and then it had to get accepted by the comp controller before it actually got adopted in Texas. Arizona and New Hampshire both have shown positive signs with their Bitcoin bill. One that was really looking like it was doing really well was Utah. And I thought we had talked about it on the podcast before.
Yes.
But they ended up gutting that, right?
Yeah, they basically took all the good teeth out of it.
Yeah.
Made it more of a blockchain bill than a
strategic reserve bill.
Strategic reserve bill, yeah.
Yeah, because I think it was basically they protected miners and people's ability to self-custody, but that was kind of the it, or basically all that they included within that. Looks like Pennsylvania and Wyoming have both seen their proposals either fail completely or just stall.
Well, Texas, it was approved by the Senate there, but it's fell off the map. I haven't seen any update on it since. So, I mean, and that we could even say Texas is stalled out. So,
I don't know.
I'm still curious to see how things shake out.
Yeah, and that's been about a month ago. That was the last update we had heard on that. So it's crazy.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah. It was probably right at the end of February or right in that time frame. So I mean, we'll kind of have to wait and see. I think one of those things that I always keep on saying with the states and their bills is that it only takes one to finally kick off that party. But who's going to be the first one to do it?
I don't know, but we're going to give big props to whoever does.
Yeah. Well, and they'll be the little ember that starts the rest of the flames.
That's right. And it'll take some cojones.
Yeah.
And Utah doesn't have them.
Apparently not, man. And they were going in hot and heavy there for a little bit. And then they blew it. So anything else you wanted to bring up today?
That's it for today.
For those of you out there, if you do not have your own self-custody solutions, you can go to our deals page and get yourself an Elipal or a Ledger wallet. And if you're really kind of interested about mining with Bitcoin, you can get yourself a Bitcoin miner and just help contribute to the network, especially as the mining network continues to kind of grow and get more and more centralized with these big companies kind of coming together. It helps to have some decentralization. The other important part of that too is if you run a node, you can verify your own transactions without necessarily having to deal with the mining aspect of it. But the nodes are the ones that decide how the blockchain is going to go, if that makes sense. They're the ones that cast the vote for the consensus. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Run your own node. It's very important to the whole ecosystem of Bitcoin.
Yeah, you don't have to necessarily run a miner, but you can run a node. And then other than that, sign up for our newsletter.
Indeed.
Thank you all for listening.
Bye.